Good afternoon. Welcome to 5-Point Science, Science from a Christian Worldview. Now, let me go ahead and first put this forth. This first episode is going to be an introduction to the podcast. In other words, I'm going to introduce you all to the name of it, explain that name, and then talk about science briefly from a Christian worldview. So keep in mind, if you're a Christian listening to this, it should be encouraging and hopefully should help you to engage the topic if you haven't thought about it some more. Like, how do I approach science from a Christian worldview, right? Especially if we are those who believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. All right, so let's go ahead and let's dive in. Well, welcome to 5-Point Science, Science from a Christian Worldview. I'm your host, Puritan John. Let me first go ahead and thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast, and I pray it will be a blessing to you and anyone you may share it with. Before further, I will explain the name. So, to clarify, the name 5-Point Science does not refer to me going through 5 points of discussion, but instead refers to 1, the 5 points of Calvinism, aka Reformed Theology, which is often abbreviated with the acronym TULIP, which stands for Total Depravity, Unconditional Election, Limited Atonement, Irresistible Grace, and the Perseverance of the Saints, or, as the late Dr. R.C. Sproul used to say, the Preservation of the Saints. And 2, the 5 solas of the Reformation, Sola Scriptura, Solus Christus, Sola Fide, Sola Gratia, and Soli Deo Gloria. If you are not familiar with either the terms, which are abbreviated with the acronym TULIP, or the 5 solas, I will provide some resources at the end which you can check out, but for now, I will briefly explain each. TULIP. First, let's start off with TULIP. Remember, the T in TULIP stands for Total Depravity, which is one of 2 phrases which is often misused and in a lot of churches rejected. With that in mind, I will explain that the phrase total depravity is and what it isn't. Total depravity doesn't mean we are all bad, but that every aspect of our being is tainted by sin. In other words, we can see, but how we view things is tainted by sin. For example, we see another human being and lust after their looks, or we see an aspect of creation, animals, plants, etc., and desire to worship him. So you see, we can use our sight, but by our fallen nature, we tend to default to sin. Next, we have unconditional election. This means God chooses us, and not on the basis of anything we are or have done. Praise God for this, because if his choosing was based on who we are or what we have done, the only thing we would have received is his wrath in hell eternally. Following this, we have the next phrase, limited atonement. This is the second of 2 phrases in the acronym TULIP, and sadly, because they see the word limited, or I should say this is not the second phrase, but the second of the 2 phrases in that TULIP that people have a hard time dealing with. And the reason why is, sadly, they see the word limited, and from there, they're like, wait a minute, this is God we're talking about. He's not limited. And in fact, here's some of the things that you might hear people say. They say, how can this be biblical as God isn't limited? But they fail to realize it is not referring to a limit in his power, but in limiting who the atonement was for. Consider Matthew 1:21. A better way of stating it would be definite atonement. Sadly, when this phrase is rejected, a person either declares God can save no one alone and needs our help, that being work salvation, or he saves every single person, universalism. Both of those options are unbiblical and must be rejected. Next, we have irresistible grace. This is to say, if given his grace, we will not be able to resist it or even desire to resist it. Praise God for that, because without his grace, we would be left in our sins and therefore to his judgment and wrath. Remember, it is by grace we are saved, Ephesians 2 verses 5 and 8. Last, we have perseverance of the saints. This is to say, we who are truly converted will not be lost. Read John chapter 6 verses 37 through 40. And the work God begins, he finishes, Philippians 1 6. All right, so now that we've briefly touched on and given at least this statement, generally speaking, and helped hopefully clarify what that term TULIP means, let's move to the 5 solas. Now, the word sola in Latin refers to only. So these are the 5 onlys, you could say. And let's better understand those and get what it means by each phrase, just like we went through those of TULIP. Now that I've briefly given an explanation on the acronym TULIP, let us move to the five solas of the Reformation. While these were expressed during the Reformation, it doesn't mean that they were originated then. So let us first start with sola scriptura. The phrase, as are the other ones, are Latin phrases, as I stated already, and sola scriptura refers to scripture alone. This is to say, our standard for doctrine and life are the Holy Scriptures. In other words, we don't put another thing, even as good as a creed or a theological work, we don't put those above the standard of Holy Scripture. We are sola scriptura, scripture alone. Well, next we have solus Christus, which means Christ alone. This means we are only saved by Christ alone, meaning no one else is needed to save us. This is to say, and please understand this, this isn't to say we don't need anything, works, good works in our life, but we're saying this is to say we don't need anything as regards to works to secure our salvation. This doesn't mean that our salvation doesn't produce good works that glorify God, but it's just saying in the act of us being redeemed in our salvation, that's only secured by, understand this, by Christ Jesus the Lord, our one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, next up, we have sola fide. Sola fide means faith alone. All right? Faith alone. Okay? In other words, what when we come to faith in Christ, when he saves us, he uses a means called faith, and it is by faith alone that we believe in him. And it is faith that he grants to us, which enables us to cry out to him and to see he is our only means of salvation. Now, following this, we have sola gratia, which is grace alone. Lastly, we have soli deo gloria. Forgive for the pronunciation there, which means glory to God alone. There is not one aspect of our salvation which we can say I deserve the credit, glory for. If we say that, there's pride, and as we know, pride comes before the fall. Instead, consider this. This is a quote from a theologian of old, one of our brothers of the past. It says the following: the only contribution to our salvation is the necessity, the need for it. That was from Jonathan Edwards. Now that I've explained a part of the podcast title, that being 5 point, now let me continue with the rest of the podcast, Science from a Christian Worldview. So what is science? Well, the word science comes to us from the Latin word scientia, which means knowledge, and in particular, knowledge of the physical world. Remember that science is the discipline of understanding the world around us, and for us as Christians, understanding that creation, the world, the earth, and the universe in light of the scriptures. What people often forget is we all look through an interpretive lens, in other words, our glasses, so to speak, when we view an issue, discuss an issue, and form a particular opinion on an issue. This is a worldview. Otherwise stated, the way we view the world. Really, there are only two worldviews. The Christian worldview, which views all of life in light of what God has said in his word, or the unbeliever's worldview, where he, she views and understands life in light of themselves. Now, in this podcast, my earnest desire is Christians be encouraged and strengthened in their faith and engaging in the topic of science. This is one area where a lot of Christians have not engaged, as either they feel they don't know enough, that being about science, or feel that the scriptures don't have anything to say about science. Both are wrong and are errors, as one assumes. They have to know a certain amount of science from, you know, particular science information to engage the topic, and the other thinks the Bible is only for spiritual matters. For the first error, we don't need a PhD or even a bachelor's in science to engage the topic. Think about it in Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This is to say, in being a believer, we know the one whom created all things. Now, I'm not saying we are to be ignorant, okay, of the academic topic of science, but that we don't have to have an exhaustive knowledge on the topic. So don't ignore engaging the topic just because you don't know everything about it, but instead feel encouraged to engage. In other words, to actively be a part of this, interacting with friends, family, right? Various aspects of things maybe you've wondered. So don't, you know, please be encouraged to engage in the topic, knowing you have access to the one who created all things and is the source of truth. The second error is assuming science is separate from theology. We cannot do that, but instead the earth and the fullness of it are under the dominion of our King, King Jesus. All right, folks, this concludes our first and introductory episode of the podcast, 5-Point Science, Science from a Christian Worldview. Hope it has been a blessing to you, and I pray can continue to bless through encourage you in the faith to engage the topic of science for the glory of God. This is your host, Puritan John. God bless. Soli Deo Gloria. Praise be to his name.